On the show today, we have Correlation's very own Philip McArdle and Lori Page talking about a really hot topic right now, remote core conversions. What was it like those first few, and now what's the process like now that they have a few more under their belt? So check it out. Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with Steve Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have some fine folks from Correlation Incorporated. And right next to me would be Lori Page. Lori, how you doing?
Great. How are you, Mike?
Doing well. Thanks for asking. And then right below us is Philip McArdle. Philip, how are you doing down there, sir?
I'm doing great, Mike. Thanks for having us.
Oh, you're very welcome. Hey, we're talking about a really hot topic here, and that's remote core conversions. And I remember one of my first thoughts when the pandemic hit, because I mean, I come from a core conversion background as well, working at the other companies in the industry. But my first thought went to you guys, oh my gosh, how are they going to do conversions? Because that's, you know, back in the day, that was a very in-person thing to do. You know, you're right there side by side, shoulder to shoulder, doing all the coding and all that type of stuff. So I want to get, Lori, I'm going to start with you. What was your first thoughts when this thing hit and you went, oh my gosh, how are we going to make this work? What were your first thoughts?
Yeah, you know, here at Correlation, you know us well enough to know we're all about relationships. So although we felt confident that remotely we could support the conversions, we were feeling like, how's this communication? How are we going to keep those relationships and that all that trust still going that we're so known for?
Yeah.
For me, that was kind of my first, you know, that and also conversion weekend. And what's that command center going to look like? You know, how are we going to recreate that via video, you know, during a virtual command center? It's possible. Let's get to work and figure out how to make it happen.
No doubt. Phil, I want to get your thoughts too, because, you know, this is stuff that's kind of near and dear to your hearts, obviously, and to your clients as well, because they have, you know, some serious concerns, especially in the very beginning. So what are your thoughts? What were your first thoughts when this happened?
Well, you know, the first thoughts that I had, similar to what Lori had said, is that, you know, we wanted to make sure that we could find the way to take what we knew technologically we could accomplish, because we had gone through so many of our milestones on these conversions and other processes on our conversions remotely. We knew we had all the pieces to put together technologically, but we just wanted to make sure that we had the right way to make sure our customers really felt as supported as we want our clients to feel when they're going through this process. So the biggest thing for us was making sure that we could understand, both for our teams and for our clients, we could find the right way to have the same level of communication, the same level of contact in any way that we could, to make sure that we felt as close to that on-site conversion support experience as we could.
Okay, and that leads me to my next question. It's like, okay, then what happened? Did somebody, because I mean, you guys have a lot of brilliant people there at Correlation, obviously, but did somebody kind of break down that wall and go, hey, you know what? We found a way to do this. Lori, is that happened?
Yeah, you know, as Philip mentioned, we had the infrastructure in place. We had the tools in place. And as timing would have it, I would say it was a good 2-3 months before this pandemic hit. We had just gone through an evaluation of all of our major milestones, all of our conversion milestones. So it was I don't want to say it was a really good time, because the pandemic in general is not a good thing.
Oh, yeah.
A good time, if anything was going to happen, that we had just done a thorough review. So then what we needed to do is we needed to all get back together. Those that the management team, those that are the boots on the ground for our conversion, our leads, our analysts, to figure out how we could convert, what pieces we needed to convert to this remote world. And we wanted to make sure we didn't cut any corners, because for us, it's important that that project plan that we are used to following, that we know works, that is a best practice, is something that, you know, we fulfill. And that even though we are remote, there's no cutting corners. So we reevaluated every milestone, from staff training to data mapping, to figure out the best way to make each of those happen, as well as the conversion. And Philip's going to talk to that probably a lot too, but you know, our command center looks a little different, but really, instead of being there, you know, in person, you're sitting there looking at us on the monitor, but we are facilitating the same process. You know, our conversion programmers are used to working remotely, so that world still stayed intact. It was those individuals that went on site that we needed to just adjust and say, we need you to be on, you know, we need that face time with you and the client, but now we need to get some structure around that communication and how that command center is going to work, and what, you know, video sessions we need to accomplish for each of those working sessions.
Yeah, thank goodness for video technology. Holy smokes, yeah. Where would we be without it? Philip, let's get your perspective on the process. So, you know, Lori mentioned kind of, you know, some of the communication process and stuff. What's from your perspective, what's the process look like now?
Sure. Well, you know, when it came to, we weren't far away from some conversions that we needed to go ahead and figure out our right way to support that conversion weekend and first weekend live. And so the process that we took to break that down and figure out how we could support it is the leaders of the teams in Lori's area around our core services, around our training, around our cards and interfaces, as well as my team on the project management side and our programming and development teams, looked at the way that we normally conduct a conversion weekend and a first week live. We looked at all the different ways in which we normally have to collaborate with our clients and collaborate with the individual teams, talked about what the possible ways were to translate that into video sessions, and the right way to overlap those, the right staff to have from the client side and the right staff to have from our side on each of those, so that we could have the right combination of resources at the right time supporting all the conversion activities with, again, that same level of support we normally would be giving to them if we were on site with our clients. And, you know, it took some work for us to sort out what we thought would be the best approach. Then it took talking to our clients about what we wanted to try, getting their input, making sure that they felt that it was something that would give them that level of comfort and support that they would need. And with every conversion since the first one that we did, we've been taking what we learned out of that last one. We've been adding that back into our process and seeing how we can make it a little bit better. So it's really been just a huge process of collaboration and iteration and constant improvement to make sure that we're continuing to support all of these clients in the very best way we can, and continuing to make sure that our own teams feel like they've got the tools and processes they need.
Yeah, it's definitely a two-way street. It's definitely a team effort, both Correlation and the credit union for sure. And I know you guys, I've talked to a number of your credit unions over the years about the conversion process and just how thorough you guys are and just testing, communication. But what were those first couple of remote conversions like? There must have been a little bit of nerves there. Kind of like, you know, the first time riding a bike or something like that. It's like, there's a little bit of nerves there, but once you got going, things have started rolling, right? Lori?
Yeah, you know, it's almost like that change curve that we all know and have lived by. You know, it's like a roller coaster ride. You've got your ups and your downs.
Yeah.
But our very first conversion, you know, the client was still adjusting to, you know, taking care of their members, taking care of their staff, as we were. You know, you've got kids at home, you've got some, you know, sick family members you're caring for. So I think the fears were more related to how, you know, the employees were going to take this, and were they going to be available? Was somebody going to end up being sick?
Yeah.
Those were the unknowns. So we knew that the steps and the tasks were going to be accomplished. We felt comfortable with that. It was the unknowns related to the virus.
Really? Okay, really, that's a good perspective, yeah.
Yeah, and really taking care of the employees both on their end as well as our end. So we really focused on that. I mean, we've got 8 conversions so far under our belt that are completely remote.
It's unbelievable.
And we just converted a client that we hadn't even had physical, touch with from the beginning. So it's our first client that we converted that we've not even really met in person. So that's kind of an interesting time too. But we'll have a total of 11 by the end of this month, where 3 of those are billion plus. And you talked to Alan, the CEO at Vibe. And
yeah,
to be honest, that was one of the most complex conversions, 2 different cores and a merger and all remote. And it was probably one of our best and most successful.
Yeah, that's what he said too. I'm still trying to wrap my head around that.
Yeah, we're exciting.
Like, how did that work? I'm like, yeah, God, I just pulled it off. Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Philip, I mean, so fast forward to today, and like you said, Lori, you guys are going to do 11 of them by the end of the month. So what do they look like now? What does the conversion process look like now? Because it sounds like you've got the template, so to speak,
mm-hmm,
to get these done correctly. So what's it like now? What's the process like now, as opposed to maybe the first couple?
Sure. So the conversion process now, when it comes to the conversion weekend, the first week live, we're still structuring our schedule, following the same process that we always have, working with our teams internally to structure that minute-by-minute set of tasks we're going to be doing through conversion weekend and first week, sharing that with our clients and our vendors,
yep,
making sure that we're all 100% confident on the timing. But then as far as how we execute all those tasks, what we're now laying out with our clients at the same time that we're laying out that schedule is we're building for them a plan, a visual plan that we actually put out in a grid in order to show them how we're going to be providing that web conference support. And the foundation of all of that, the real heart of it, is a command center that we set up starting on the morning of the first day that we're going to begin balancing and validation, continuing all the way through for the full day, that weekend, and the first week live. That's where the project manager is always present with the client as a point of contact that they always have. We have members of Lori's core services and training team who are present there as well in order to be able to respond quickly to issues that arise on those calls. And then at the same time as that command center, where we've got constant contact again between the client and our team and a central hub for all activity, we've got breakout sessions for a breakout session for balancing and a breakout session for validation. So we can work on those in parallel with the right members of the client's team and the right members of our conversion services team to make sure that we're working closely together on those and keeping our teams updated on what the progress is. From there, moving forward, we've got separate calls that are set aside for things like the specific car-related tasks that we need to accomplish over conversion weekend and the integration tasks with our third-party interfaces, as well as accounting tasks. Each place where we've got individual members of our team that are working with specialized members of the client's team, if it makes sense for us to have a separate space for those team members to go in order to collaborate together rather than taking up the space on that command center, then we set that up and share those invitations across the group and lay that out in that grid so everyone's aware of it. And then finally, a critical part of it also is for that first week live, and Lori, you may want to talk more about this, but the dedicated training line. We've got a line where trainers from Lori's team are available to branch managers and other members of the credit union staff who need to always have quick access to a member of our training staff to make sure that they can find the right process to follow within Keystone to accomplish a certain task that maybe it's been a while since they've been trained on or a while since they practice. We want to make sure that they've got that same quick access to us that they normally would if the trainers were there walking around the headquarters and walking around the branches with them. So we really focus on making sure we've got enough of those sessions that all those different types of support that normally are part of what we're doing when we're on site are the same types of support that we're providing by video conference now.
Right. And Lori, yeah,
it's become this well-oiled machine.
It sounds like it.
It really has. It really has. And the staff is so comfortable with it too. In fact, we've got clients asking us in the world tomorrow, you know, we like this because, you know, you're not spending time in the air traveling and, you know, the client doesn't have to incur the cost of us traveling as well. So if we're doing a really good job and they're feeling just as comfortable and they're taking those travel days that they wouldn't have us available to them. And now we've got them 5 days a week for that major milestone. I mean, what a great benefit.
No doubt.
They're seeing, and we are as well, some of those benefits.
Yeah. And that leads me to my last question here, and it's geared toward both of you. Looking into the future now, what does the core conversion look like in a post-COVID world? Lori, I'll let you go first on this one.
Yeah, we're already, as you probably know, we're ahead of it. We're being proactive.
So I'm sure.
We're looking into what that world will look like. We're obviously working with our partners, our consultant partners, our client partners, as well as the staff to ask those questions. What's working well? What's not? What could we do differently? So we've got our list. We're hearing from the clients already, like I mentioned.
Yeah.
We want staff training. We don't care if you guys are starting to travel next month. We want staff training to continue this way. So of all milestones for staff training to be the one that they feel comfortable with handling remotely, I think we're headed in a great direction. I don't think the world's going to look for us like it did prior to COVID. I think we're going to find a lot of ways to do things differently like we have today and make those our new best practices.
Yeah, I think it's really exciting, actually.
I mean,
really finding ways to streamline things and make the process that much better for everybody. So, Philip, what does it look like to you? What's the future of the core conversion look like from your perspective?
Well, I think it looks like a lot more flexibility. I think that we've learned a lot from this process and are going to continue learning a lot from how we're supporting these conversions about the ways in which we can do so much more of our process remotely if that's something that we and our clients are both comfortable with even after we're back to traveling. So I think it's exciting that for our clients we're going to be able to start talking about opportunities with things like training that Lori mentioned and with anything else that we normally would travel on site for. you know, talking to our clients and talking internally to ourselves. What are the things that we think might even be working better remotely than they do on site? And where are the places where, again, we can save time and can make more of our staff time available to our clients by doing these things from here in our headquarters or here at home, as opposed to doing them on site with our clients. Yeah. So that flexibility that I think we're going to take a lot away from this that we can continue to use for all of our projects.
Isn't this kind of fun though? It's you have this challenge in front of you. And it's like, okay, how can we just knock down this wall? How can we get around it? And just using your creativity and your knowledge and your experience, like, oh, we could do this, we could do that type of thing. That's gotta be like fun in a way, you know? So I bet.
Yeah. Our employees are really feeling like they're part of this too, because we really do look to them for those suggestions and for, you know, to understand what they're seeing. So they're part of this change as much as the leadership team here at Correlation, but to have the support from our executive team like we have, and to give, you know, all the acknowledgement and the kudos to the groups making this happen. Because it doesn't happen without that collaboration and without that extra effort. But they're making it look easy. And that's because of the support that they're providing as well as the support at the executive level. So it's just a good thing overall here at Correlation right now. We're feeling very solid.
I think so too. Yeah, it's all about building that better mousetrap. And you guys have certainly got that down pat really, really well. All right, guys, anything else to add here? Philip, any final words of wisdom here?
You know, I think all I would want to say is that for our clients out there who may be watching this and thinking about their conversions that are coming up, just want to make sure that we're reassuring you that we are as focused as you are on making sure that we've got a level of support and a level of comfort and all the tools available to you and to our teams to make it just as successful of a conversion as it would have been if we were on site.
Indeed. Lori, any final words?
Yeah, I think I can only expand on that to say that we're here to listen to any concerns you have, because there will be concerns. This is all unknown to all of us, but we're all about keeping those lines of communication open and seeing what your needs are specific to your credit union. So we look forward to working with those that are in the queue, ready to kick off, and to continue special projects with our current customer base, because that's another area that Philip and I are directly involved with. And that's taking care of our client base that's already converted. And we want to make that a comfortable place for those clients too.
Indeed. Well said. Well said. Exciting times for sure as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The next 6 months to a year is going to be really, really interesting to watch for sure. And you guys are right there in the mix. So well done. Keep up the good work, Lori and Philip. Appreciate the time. And I know you got a lot on your plate, so I'll let you get back to work. So thanks again for the time. That was fun.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for having us.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thanks, Mike. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.